Oh, when the God in the good time is the God in the bad time, the God of the dead is the God of the night. Hallelujah. Blessed be thy holy name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord. We bless the holy name. We praise you, Lord. Blessed Master, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the wonderful name. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for our truly wonderful Savior, a Father to us. Loving us no matter what sort of person we are, you have picked us up and you make us your children. Adopted us, Lord, and give us this sonship to be a part of the family of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for truly that our the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, Yahweh, who is of the day and of the night. Whether we be up in the mountain we be, or down in the valley, you are still the Lord God of all time. We thank you for your care, for the unique reality to us, Lord. The reality of understanding that you open our eyes to see your very purpose and the plan, O Lord, for our existence, of our being here this morning. Cause us to see and open our eyes to see who we are. The world of people may ask, who I am, who I am. And they be asking, Lord, why are they here on this earth? But as thou have revealed yourself in thy word unto your people, and here we are, privileged people. We know who we are. That we are part of the family of God. And you have purpose, Lord, from the beginning, before all things exist. Before there was ever the foundation of the earth laid. Before there was ever a speck of dust. Before there were ever angels. Or anything that ever were created. You have predestined us, Lord, a people, to fulfill the very pleasure of having a family. And we thank you, Lord, that we could call you our Father, our Lord and our Savior, and our Master. We commit all things to you now, Lord. Open our understanding to the simplicity of thy word, Lord. And I pray that our spirit will be able to hear what you have to say to us. We ask this in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to conclude what I said the last 2 weeks now and summarize some of the points and bring out some important points to show you and not forget that we are God's workmanship. We always remember it is not we who are doing God's service. You understand? You understand that? Yes, God may call us for a service. God may call us to a work. But don't think that whatever you are doing a work for God is the aim of God's intention. It is Him working a work in your life to fulfill a purpose that He had set before the foundation of the world, that He had already ordained even before you were born. Before this whole heaven and earth exist, He had already ordained the people that will fulfill the very purpose of what He wanted. You understand this? And that is the thing we need to know. The first point I would like to show you, remember, we are talking about the mystery of His purpose, and we have in our various verses of scripture we have given to you, Revelation 3, 11, and then Romans 4, 17 to 25. Romans 4, 17-25, and 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Now, I said the first point that you need to know is that faith is needed more in this age than in any age that was before us, that had been before us, that have gone by. That's in the past. In all the ages in the past, the people were given a certain revelation. Is that right? And they have a certain point, a certain faith given to them for that particular time. But in this age, we need more faith than those people in their age. Faith is more needed in this age than in the ages past. Alright? Now, the second point to remember is this. Because of what God has given us, the revelation for this hour, we need to know this, that we as believers need to control our sensual man, our carnality. You know, in the days when they have justification, that's all that they have. They don't know anything else. And that's why when Martin Luther, when he was off the scene, and the people in the days of John Wesley, when John Wesley saw them, the people were drinking beer in the pub on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning they'll go to church. You understand that? And John Wesley thought he was a believer because, well, he go to church too. And he went around America to try to save the Red Indian. But he found out that he wasn't even repenting and living the right life. Then when he's, what the Lord revealed to him, you need to have a sanctified life. You understand? So the faith continued to build up. So we are living in an age now that we have the Holy Ghost baptism. It's not just the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we accept for what He had done for us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is not righteousness. Every one of us are sinners. We are born in sin. And we cannot save ourselves. A drowning man cannot save himself. It's impossible. You see, and so that's the reason why God said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so, what God had done for Israel was a time and shadow when they bring the lamb or bring a bullock or a turtle dove for sacrifice for the atonement of their sin or forgiveness of their sins. You know, it was only a temporary thing because the life of those animals did not come back to the believer because the animal life cannot come back. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God had ordained that there will be a Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And He will be His Son. And so when Jesus came a sinless person, innocent like a lamb, sinless, He laid down His life for propitiation for sin. And so the shedding of His blood, because it was a sinless blood, and His life was able to return back, the Spirit of Christ returned back on the day of Pentecost. And that's the reason why the Bible said, unless you are born of the Spirit of God, you don't have eternal life. Unless you are born of the water and of the Word, you don't have eternal life. You understand that? Because when you are born of the Spirit of the Word of God, the Bible said the Word of God, the seed of God, should abide in you. Is that right? When you abide in you, that shows that He will have the Spirit of God. So now it's not just taking the blood. This hour we're living is the Spirit, the manifestation of that life. It is one thing to say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. But what is that life? That's not what Bible talks about, the token of the Spirit of God. What is that life? In the days of Moses, when they were in Egypt, they had applied the blood on the doorposts, and God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But if I don't see the blood, my spirit will come in, and the angel of death will come in and take the firstborn. Is that right? But now, it's not the blood that God is just looking at. He wants to see that life. Because why? He's going to take the people out of this world. Yes, let me say this. The Bible said, do you know that there are many Christians in the world? There are a lot of people that go to churches, they say they're Christian. But not all Christians will go to heaven. Not all Christians, because they go to church, they think, oh, I'm going to heaven when I die. That is not true. Okay? But there is a group of people that are born again Christians, so to speak. You understand the word? Christian, born again Christian. All who are truly born again, yes, they have eternal life. If you are born again, the Bible said you are a child of God. You understand? They are given eternal life. That means they are heaven bound. You understand that? But again, out of this group of born again Christians, God is taking a group of people who shows that life of the blood. Do you understand? If you have the blood, you have the life. But if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you are not able to decipher now as a special group of people. What Paul would say, the out resurrection from the dead. There are people who don't believe in the rapture. They believe that all Christians will die going into the tribulation. Do you understand? And there are some people on the internet, I saw a website. This preacher is a Bible, is a prophetic preacher. You know the Chernobyl accident? You know this nuclear thing? He said that was the third trumpet, I think he said. Or third trumpet. Saddam Hussein, when he burned all those oil wells in the Gulf War several years ago, in 1998 or something like that, was it not? He said that was the fifth trumpet. You see. And that's the way they interpret it. You understand? But you see, God must have a people. The Bible talks about resurrection. But from the dead. Elijah was translated. Never see that. Is that right? There was a man called Moses. He died, but he was resurrected and he was taken away. He was not even buried. Nobody knew where he was because God had taken him away. So these two characters, okay, Elijah was translated up, okay, and here Moses, he was taken. Elijah represents grace, Moses represents law. Elijah did not die. Moses died and resurrected and taken away. We're not talking about Enoch, who was a special case. Because Elijah and Moses was a man who stood beside Jesus Christ in the Mount Transfiguration. So that shows me one thing. One will be, according to Elijah, who will be translated and taken out without seeing death. But whereas the other one had to pass through the tribulation and see death. Do you understand? Yet they will all have eternal life. But God has paused it. Oh, I press to work the most high calling of Christ. You know, I have not yet achieved what I think I achieved, but I'm pressing on to achieve that I might attain the out resurrection. That means it's a special group. That means it's one that will be taken up in the rapture. Now, we know that all this doctrine about being taken up in the rapture by denomination, it's just something which is not scriptural. You understand that? All Christians will go up in the rapture, that is not true. There's got to be a people that shows the token of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That's why in this age we need more faith is required. More faith is required. And of course, the point number two, I say, if you have faith, then the believers do not walk sensually. You know, sensually? You know, according to our senses. Alright? We're not like human people, just simply walking of God on the earth and then with all our carnal mind. But we must walk spiritually. You understand that now? Okay? Like Abraham. Abraham, well, he was given a promise. But he always hold on to the promise. Is that right? Even the one told him, commonly the one used the senses. You know, I'm old now, you know, take Hagar as your handmaid. Take Hagar and give you a son. You understand what it is? But you know, Abraham, no. He is still continuing working spiritually. You understand? God do not allow anything else to thwart his plan. Because he said it, he must fulfill it. If he doesn't fulfill it, he's a liar. And Bible says, God is not a man, and he will not lie. Every word he said, he will never change. And you cannot change God's word to suit your way. God is going to change you to suit his way. That's why I said the bride is telling it. Huh? You know, brother, God, I always fail. Hey, as long as you're overcoming, God will not charge your sin against it. He won't. Do you understand? As long as you're overcoming, God will not charge you with your sin to your account. Do you understand that? For the Bible says in the book of John, he is born a son of God, they now do not sin, but the word of God abide in them. Why? Because we are overcoming. You understand that? Jesus said, you shall overcome, you must overcome. He that overcomes, sitting in my throne and so forth. As long as we are overcoming. If you are not, you just take the easier way out. Like many Christians today, they say they are. But 10 years down the road, they're no longer Christian. Because they're never born again. they were never, never born again. You understand that now? The point number three, God expressed Himself in three ways. Expression of God. God expressed Himself in three. First, in Christ. Secondly, in the bride, which is now, because Christ is already in the past. Now He expressed Himself in the bride. The third expression of God will be when Jesus comes by. And then we will see with Christ in the throne, there will be God's expression in Christ and the bride. Alright? That is why He said preeminence. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 to 2, where we read and studied, that God has made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Reckon that. And why has Paul there said that we are His workmanship? And that's point number 4. We are His workmanship. And this is the important thing that you need to know. We are His workmanship. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, and here came Satan using the serpent to tempt Eve. After fornicating with Eve, Eve conceived a child. Then Eve went over to Adam and, of course, got him to eat of the same fruit, the forbidden fruit, not an apple, of course. Neither is it a durian or passion fruit. And now what we have over in this part of Indonesia, in this part of the world, we have buah salad. How many of you have seen buah salad? Not buah kulat, buah salad. You know, a little fruit that looks, that has a skin on the outside, you know, that looks like snake scale. Man, I love to eat it. It gives you a lot of passion, these things. Come on. You know, maybe that's the fruit that we always say, oh my, when our first introduced to it, it looks, oh my. It's so scaly. It looks like snake scale. And the color of snake. You know? So, is there any fruit actually? We know, of course, fornication. Partaking of the reproductive organ, the sexual reproductive organ, something which God created to bring forth children. And they use it for pleasure instead of the purpose of what it was originally created. And so we have that, of course, sin came. With what we call discrepancy of something that came into the garden that was not supposed to be. And there was the son of the serpent, the seed of the serpent, Cain. Cain was a discrepancy. He was a beast man, so to speak now. Isn't it? So now because of the fallen state, God now set forth to work to bring about the restoration of Eve. The restoration of the woman. So we are the woman. We were the church. You understand? We all felt from grace. So now, God is restoring that. You understand? In the beginning, Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they were naked and did not see anything wrong with it. You understand that? Of course, because they were veiled to the senses by the word of God. But once the veil was lifted, oh, they realized what it is. You understand that? Then the senses come into play. Huh? Today, is it possible that we look and not last? It is possible. It is because of the word that they clothed us. Do you understand? If the word veil over us, we can see and not last. It's not good for us to see a girl or a boy or a man who is good looking or things like that. You know, but the last thing is what the Bible said that is can take you away and into sin. You understand that? You see? Because you cannot help seeing what you are out in the streets or in the department store or in a big mall. You understand that? You look at all this poster bill. Look at turn your newspaper. Open up. You see a half naked woman in the newspaper advertising a car, maybe advertising, oh well, enhancement, what body enhancement. Isn't it? And today, people are conscious about their body and they want to look nice and remain young. That's why we have. Alright, so there must be something that stands between us and our senses. And that's the reason why when God predestined from the very beginning, now He's going to work in us. We are His workmanship. He's working a work in our life. You understand that now, okay? So we restore us back to the image of God, as He did first by Jesus Christ. Alright, so God to be a people that He's going to fulfill. And yet, while we are here, no matter what, there's always the fussing and the quarreling and the frustration that comes between brothers and sisters and even children in the family. Temper tantrum they throw. Isn't it? So this is part of the thing, and things don't work right, you get all upset. You see? Huh? And you know what? God is always watching. But He's gonna change you to meet His need of getting a bride. Look at Moses was a good example. Oh no, I cannot speak. And God said, who make your tongue? Huh? Who make you? You understand that? And when Moses did something wrong, he's striking the rock when he used to speak. God doesn't forgive him. You understand that? You understand what I mean? God must fulfill His word. God said, when I told you to speak, you speak. Not what you think you want to your senses. You understand? Yet even when Moses died, God took his body and took him home. Do you understand that? Look at David. Hey, David. David was a man after God's own heart. Huh? And yet, well, he got four wives. And then, you know what happened when he brought in the ark? And Michal, I think the first wife was the name, and she was saying, I see a half naked man, a king, dancing in front of these people, make a fool of himself. When he was dancing before the ark, as he brought the ark in, and David took off his robe and everything, just on his loincloth, he began to dance before the Lord and bring the ark into Jerusalem. You know, and so of course, well, God wasn't happy with her. You know what happened? She wasn't able to give birth. And then one night, when David was on the walking, in the palace, and then he overlooked the valley a little bit down the slope, and he saw some of these houses. In those days, the houses are, not the one we have. And so he saw a woman bathing herself, or washing her, and he looked at her. She was naked, of course, because she was being washed. He looked at her, and he saw her beauty, and he wanted her. I know you know the story of that. Her husband was a Hittite, Uriah, and a captain, and so, because of his lust for her already, not really in a sense love, because after all you belong to somebody, but yes, love for her actually, true in one sense, but you must know you belong to somebody else. So put Uriah on the front line of battle, or the thick of the battle, and get him killed, of course, that's the purpose of him. And then so when he died, so King David married her. And then you know what happened? Nathan came, the prophet, knowing that David know how to judge, and told him a story, that my man will only have one little ewe lamb, small ewe lamb, his prized possession. And here was a rich man who came, and instead of, taking one of his own from his field, he took the ewe lamb. He said, what do you think he would do? Oh, King David, that man has done a great sin. So King and Samuel, Nathan the prophet said, you are the one. Oh, you know what happened? David cried and he wept, But God said, I will not punish you or banish you or take your throne, whatever it is from you, but I will take your son from you. Your firstborn will be taken from you. Oh, of course, David was quick in the heart. He cried and he mourned and he wept, for days. But he realized, he stood up and he says, no, I know. And he cannot come back to me, but I will go to him. Yeah. That's it. And God still bless him. And now the Bathsheba, the wife, the woman, God gave him a son called Solomon, who became the wisest king. You understand? God is going to work. You do something, God is going to deal with it. But God is going to suit his purpose. He made David king because there was going to be one who come after David in David's line. And that is Jesus the Christ. He will sit upon the throne of David. And he will judge righteously, just like King David did. Even though he judged himself, he realized he has to fulfill his judgment. So you understand, God is going to change the man to meet the need, so to speak. The next point is this. Now, if we belong to Christ, what are we? We are a prisoner of Christ. A prisoner has no rights. In America, yes, the prisoner has rights. Seems that way. You know, but if you're a prisoner, have no rights. So if you're a prisoner of Christ, you're a prisoner every day. Huh? So when you come here, you're not playing church, you know. I want to go to church because I'm a Christian, so I want to sing. No. You are a prisoner of Christ because you are a prisoner to His Word. Because the Bible says, examine yourself together. Yes, we examine ourselves. Because, you know, He told me to examine myself. He holds my life. You see? And as a prisoner, I can't have a choice to do this, to do that. This is not what you see. We don't have a law. Because if we are bound by the Spirit of Christ's Word, we are changed to His Word. And as you walk, something we know we shouldn't do. Because we don't have a choice. Because that's not my choice to do what I shouldn't be doing. You understand? That's the Spirit of the Word that binds you. The Spirit of the Word constrains you. You see? So you're no longer... You're purchased with a price. Right? That's true. So, as a prisoner of Christ, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's good. Nothing separates us. First thing is this, when you are in prison, you are fairly safe. If you are in a lockdown. Because there is nowhere to go. Huh? So you are chained to the Word. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible is the kupar of God. It's our protection, our covering, and our defense. As long as we are covered by the Word of God, we have that. Huh? So nothing can separate us. You know, we are held by the chain of God's Word. As Abraham said, your life is hanging by the wicked's link. Huh? But every word of God I believe is strong enough and nothing can separate us. No death, no height, no whatever it is in this world. We may feel forsaken. We may be afflicted. We may feel lost in some way. But He has never forsaken us. You know, nothing can separate us from Him, from that love of God. Because we are purchased with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. He purchased us. Therefore He keeps it. And Jesus said, whatever the Father has given me, no one can pluck Him out of my hand. No one. Don't talk about anyone. We're talking about the devil. He can't even touch it. And take us out of his the hand of Christ. Isn't it? So, if we are the prisoner of Christ, just remember this. We must continue to press on toward the mark. Overcoming. Not keep on fasting, repeating the things that we have been doing all the time and say, oh, we fail again. Yeah, as long as you are overcoming, God understand. God will help you through. But if you are not overcoming, well, of course, you're not actually fighting the battle. You're not even pushing toward the mark of your high calling. Huh? Like an athlete. He's going to run the race 100 meters to win it. He must press to it. He goes, oh, my leg hurts and after running 100, you know, all this training, making my body weak and all this tired, all this. Yes, I know you're tired. You didn't make it the first time. Okay, tomorrow you come back or 200 days you come back, run again, train yourself, run. We're going to mix all the mud of the high calling, but for the marathons, you know how it is better than, oh my, when I was in Kenya, so often when I was in Kenya, you see a lot of athletes, a young men in their teens, running, barefooted. Every morning when I was up there, I saw them run. You know, and the blood told me, this guy is running for, they're going to train for the Olympics and things like that, they're all living around there, you know. And they are already running and training themselves. Discipline themselves to run. Now if I would ask you, and Mati, I think many of us are not fit to run 100 meters. By the time we run 50 meters, I believe, you don't think so? So by the time you've got run 50 meters, we'll be like that, running slow to the end of the line. But if we keep on training, sure, no problem, isn't it? Sure, Lehman people are going to copy, you know. You see. Sure, we communicate. If we keep on training, that's why we must press toward the mark. Life is not easy. It's not going easy when you're up in the mountain. Sure. Right? Now, the next point we look at is, here we are, all here, we are here. And as Bob Allen would say, you know, you talk about believers in the church. There are three kinds. Unbelievers, make-believers, and true believers. So now here we are looking at, in this end-time message, we have so many people that call themselves believer. So the point is this, are you a genuine believer or a make-believer? When God promised Israel, God told Moses, I'm going to take these people out of Egypt and I'll bring you over to the promised land. Moses told the people, they're all happy because they were in bondage, right? Huh? A promised land. Oh yes, we'll go. After seeing all that God had done through Moses, all those miracles and plagues that were manifested in Egypt. Yeah, we'll go. Yes. So they'll be glad. After all, they've been dying for many years, many decades. So they packed the bag, they went. No sooner have they come to the Red Sea. Oh! Now, I think many of us will be like that too, huh? When we were on the journey, go get it for me. So you see, everything is easy. Come to the water, there's a dead end here. Here the army is coming behind us, you're going to die. Moses! Moses, well, you know, just watch the power of God. And so the water parted. Wow! Wow! You know, when you see miracles like this, say, hey, this Red Sea is big, you know. And you look, woof! Water parted this way and that way. Here's dry land. We cross and they cross. About 3 million people, they cross. When they get over that side, well, they're happy. They just some people drown. Oh, very happy. When people start to murmur, God got tired of the murmuring. He says, I'm going to put them out there in the desert to die. And let them walk the desert for 40 years and all of them die, except for those who are 20 and under. Isn't it? So, okay, but then everybody die out. You have Joshua. Okay, now, take the people across River Jordan. That's the promised land over there. They still over Jordan River. Not very well. They could see the other side. Wow, that's very nice, you know. What is standing on the desert this side? We are going over that side. Sure, okay now. Go spy the land. How many spies did they go? How many spies were sent out? Children, come on, you know. How many spies went out to spy the land? Two only. How many spies went and spied the land? 12. Why is it two only? 12. Why are there 12? Because one from each tribe. But when they all came back, how many of the 12 spies believe? Two. Now it's two. So yes, the two believe, the 10 of them says no. You see, when they went over, they saw the land was so fertile. The grapes were so big, bunchy, big. The fig, there were a lot of honey going over there, a lot of crops. They brought all that over to this side and showed the people. Wow! But the 10 of them began to murmur. Now we can't take that land. Why? Because they were giant there. You know those people, giant, those are Philistines, you know. Not Palestinian. Today, the Philistines of old. And they are huge. And most of them probably 7 feet, 8 feet, 9 feet tall. And you want to fight somebody who's 8 feet? Whose weight is 3 times your weight? No kidding. You know, so when they saw the giants, they said, no, we cannot take the land. But only two spies can say, we can't take the land. What? You think about it. You think about it now, today. What God has promised in the Word of God? What God has promised in His Bible? How many Christians in the world? We have a lot of churches in the world, a lot of denominations. God said they believe the Bible. Is it really true that they believe the Bible the way it should be? Or is it because of their tradition? Based on their sizes? Huh? You know, you know those of you who are ex-Catholic, ex-Presbyterian, ex-Pentecostal. Who was a charismatic here before? Anybody? Well, no. Alright. Pentecostal at least is the highest you have. How many of you were Baptist before? A Hindu, you have Hindu. Hindu, whatever. You, I don't know, Barkati, was he a Hindu? Yeah, he was Hindu, yeah. But we have come number ex-Catholic here. Presbyterian Pentecostal. We always think we're the right church. You know what I mean? We always think our denomination is right. The Catholic Church, they think that they are the mother church, they are true. They are the one that is the right church. The rest are all the children, what we call it, what did they use the word for the Catholic when they said we are outcasts? What's the word that the Catholic used to say about the Protestant? I can't remember now. You see. So because Luther protested, so they saw from that time on, anybody who is ex from the Catholic, who are not of the Catholic Church, is called Protestant. The word Protestant means protest, means to take a stand for truth. You see. But through the years, when God began to give them the truth, they began to build themselves into a system. And they find themselves find hard to believe the Word of God. They find it so hard to believe the Word of truth anymore. They go to church because it's a traditional thing to go to church. Like people go to the temple on the festive days. Like the Hindu will do their festive season, you know. And I saw in the news just two nights ago. I couldn't believe what I saw. In India, there's 30,000 people found a place somewhere, I don't know in what mountain, where there was a stalactite. A stalactite. You know what a stalactite is? Those icicle water in the cave. They form. Huh? And they are believing that this is a reincarnation of somebody. And 12 people go there and worship that stalactite. I want to understand why people worship a piece of ice. Huh? Strange, isn't it? You talk about people worship a piece of wood. People worshiping man. Animals. So, but that's tradition. When tradition holds a person, and the person don't use the brain that God has given him, the spirit, then this mind. That's what the Bible says. If the mind of Christ be in you, then you ought to know how to think. How to use the mind of Christ. To discern what truth is. Well, after all, when men came into the world, they are carnal, isn't it? And their mind is not the mind of Christ. Their mind is the mind of a carnal man, sinful man. I know, as Paul said, they worship the animal, the creature more than the creator. You see. So, but as Christian, how many people actually can say that they can recognize the Word of God and believe it? How many of these 12 spies, when they look what they see and God promised them this land, can say that they can take it because God said they give it to them? When God said it, you think God will not fulfill it? God, no matter what, will do something in your life to meet His need to fulfill His word. You find it hard in your life, God will change your life. He will change you to fulfill the need. How was Abraham and Sarah able to bring forth a child? After all, they were so old. But God had to change their body to fulfill the need. No matter what Sarah would believe, as long as one of them whom the promise was given believe, Abraham was the one that God held responsible. As long as you can believe, I will fulfill, I will change you to meet your need, to meet my need. So you think out that, well, 10 spies. But who of those spies represent their own tribes? What a failure. Our leader failed to believe the truth. Let's know why, you know, how important it is for this today's ministry. What is how important it is for today's ministry? You look at the church today, you have all these theologians and pastors and all this. Some pastors don't believe in healing. Don't believe in that. No. We don't believe in this gift of the prophets, this gift of the Spirit, because it is in the days of the apostles. Not for our day. Today we use medicine. We have doctors, you know, doctors. They will give you some drug and you'll be well. You get better. We have a doctor who can handle knives, saws, you know, and a sewing kit. Cut you up, put you back, anywhere. They don't believe in miracles and healing. You know, some churches don't believe that. Oh. They don't believe in praying for the sick and praying for those people who are sick. They don't believe it. It says no. We tell them to go to doctors. So doctors is their God. They are promised. God says, I'm not all to heal of thee. If they can believe. And you see, that's why it takes more faith today than it was in the days of old. For us to ever get out of this world, you need more faith, more revelation of what the Bible talks about, and hold on to it. Of course, in America, even in Singapore, we are not a charismatic, whose emphasis on healing America is overemphasized. Overemphasized. Just because they could cast out someone who has demon possessed, oh, they think that they are mighty men of God, and that they have the truth. Oh my, that's wrong. The Bible says that given the calling of God is without repentance. They are forced on another one at the end time. Huh? Paul said, if I did this, I did that, I healed this, I do all this wonderful thing, if I don't have love, what am I? Huh? Isn't it? And love comes by the word of God. You see? And Jesus said, many will come to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done that. I heal the sick, I do many wonderful work for you, I did miracles in your name. Jesus said, I never know you. But unless you do the will of God, He will not do, He will not know you. Sure, that's true. So we need to know the will of God. You understand that? Okay, now let me start a point. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that may not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what do we study? We are not studying to be a preacher. You understand? Your sister studied the Bible, you are not studying to be a preacher, don't you? Or many of you brother, you don't study to be a preacher. But the first thing, how does faith come out? Faith cometh by hearing. Isn't it? And hearing by the word of God. And you cannot hear the word of God unless you are example. In a congregation of believers. Is it right? Isn't it right? And after you have, first thing therefore is example yourself, hear the word of God, then to study. When you study, you are studying to be quiet. Study to, you know, when you study, you are in a meditation mood. Am I not right? You are in a, of course you, no people, I don't know, I don't maybe someone, I have seen some student, you know, when they study for the exam, they put on the earphone and then they go and blast those rock music and they are studying. I don't know if they really they are studying or not. I'm not sure whether that's possible. With all the distraction, you know, how can you? Of course, some smart one go to the library, huh? Or go to an airport, quiet area, and sit down and study. You need quietness. When you study, you study to be quiet in a quiet place. You study only that you meditate on what you have learned, what you have heard in church. You understand that? That is the purpose of it. Therefore, this point of study. Study the word of God as to overcome. You study your exam, your subject, so as to pass. Isn't it? To overcome, well, to go over the grade that you normally have, to get above that, to get a better point.
So we study the Word of God is to overcome, because when we have the Word of God, we have the sword in our hand. You see? And you cannot overcome without the Word of God. Right? Sure. And all that which the Word of God is given to you to do the will of God, and the Word of God is love. That's the reason why here in the end time we talk about love. God is still watching every one of us. We have our Philadelphia love, brotherly love. Because remember the step? They are all the seven steps. Now remember the seven steps? Let's go today, in case for those who do not know. Let's go. Peter. Second Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Alright? Besides this, giving all diligence as to your faith. Now we have the faith, and now we add to our faith virtue. Okay, that's number 2. And to virtue, knowledge. That's 3. 4 to knowledge, temperance. 5 to temperance, patience. 6 to patience, godliness, and the 7 to godliness, brotherly kindness. So that's where we're heading, going up higher and higher. Okay, at the pyramid scale, right? So now we have Bible says love one another. We have brotherly kindness. Do you have it? Yeah. Well, I don't know why it did not say sisterly love. I wonder why the Bible does not say sisterly love. We say only brotherly love. God, that's Philadelphia. That's the word he used from the Greek one. Anyway, so we have Philadelphia love. But we have not reached the last one. So brotherly kindness, agape, or charity as you see in the King James. Which is the love of God. Right? You understand that? You see? So the Word of God is building up. Helping us to overcome. So when we reach brotherly kindness, Philadelphia love, the Bible says love one another. It is so easy to put your hand around a brother or sister who was your enemy. Isn't it? It just contrary to common sense. Jesus said, love thy enemies. Oh! How to love my enemies? He's my enemy! I don't know how. You know, sometimes you think about it, it's contrary to common sense. Right? But you know, in a situation when God takes over, you see it works. That's why I told you about the story in the Second World War. An American soldier is a Christian and a German soldier who is a Christian. You know, one was a prisoner of war and the other one was the victor. And you know, he was gunning him, you know, everybody looked fierce, you know, soldier it is. But found out that when the German found out that the prisoner of war was an American who was a prison in Europe, and he was praying all his own. The German soldier realized he was a Christian and became good friends. After the war, they were good buddies. What? There's no more war. They are brothers in the Lord. They may be a soldier of one country fighting another country. You understand? Oh, let's say for example now, if we are Christian here, we are Singaporean. We go to war. Okay? Now when you are at war, you know a friend who is of the other country who is your enemy now. You tell the gun, you want to shoot, what to do? Shoot! Because that's war. Isn't it? Huh? That's the way life is. But love expressed is what God wants to. Sometimes you say, I love the person to death. You know what? That's what Jesus did. He loved us to death. He loved us so much so that the people whom he loved, Israel, kill him. Now who killed Jesus? Who crucified him? People think the Roman soldiers? No. We all did. Of course he came first to Israel. They didn't recognize him. They thought he was a blasphemer, he was a false prophet, he got to be put to death. You know how cruel sometimes life seems to be in a situation. Well, so love all, which is very contrary to common sense. Alright? James 2:9. Let's go to look at James 2:9 now, and it's a peculiar verse that I hope people don't misinterpret this verse. The Bible says we have to love everyone, even our enemies, huh? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Now remember here in verse chapter 2, verse 9, if you have respect to person or have favoritism regarding people, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressor. Now here, of course, if you read like this, wow, you're in trouble. Because you love one of the children above the other. Now, we've got to read from a few verses above. Which Jesus Christ is talking about, whether the person is rich or poor, no respect to a person. But you know, there are some churches in Singapore, I won't mention it, the one that my wife came out from. She told me all the story. In those days, now we have a place where you give your tithes and offering. I don't know who gives and who doesn't give, right? I don't know how much you give. I'm not interested in how much you earn anyway, because that's not my business. Right? But in that church, oh, they have an envelope. Every one of those who are members of the church, who are baptized there, the name registered there. Here, you don't have registration here, you know? Because we're not an organization. We are not something that is organized by name. You're a member of the Church of Christ, which is the spiritual kingdom of God. You're not a member of some society here. Do you understand? But of course, because all these traditional churches, they are big, they are organized churches, and so, if you are baptized there, your name automatically is in their register book, not the book of life. Just a register book, to keep track of you. And if you are not baptized there, you come in and want to be a member of the church, you just ask them, I want to be a member, they put their name there. So they give you the envelope. So every month your salary, every week you get so whatever it is, you put in the envelope, you put your name there. How much it is, do you know? And then, at the end of the month, the pastor will announce, so and so give so much. Sure, if you are one who earn 50,000 a month, you give 5,000. Oh, so-and-so give 5,000. But if you earn $1,000 a month, you give 100. The name is not mentioned. Because you know why? First of all, there are about 300-500 people. What would they want to mention for those who give $50? Or even for a child who's hard-earned money. Maybe he goes to work selling McDonald's, you know, Burger King, working there, and gives perhaps $5 on that Sunday or a month. You know, name not mentioned. You see, that's why we show favoritism. Why must this thing be done? So and so with cars, so and so with big houses. These are the one. Keep that. Because they're going to favor you. Because they are rich. Bible says if you do that, you show respect to a person and you commit sin. Whether the man is rich or poor. As Jesus Christ said, in one case, one time he told a disciple, yeah? He called the rich one, come and sit beside the host. The poor one can sit somewhere else. You know that, don't you? Sure, that is the kind of respect the person. But as far as favoritism of someone that you like more than another, it's a different thing altogether. You have, some of you ask, love one child better than another. Sometimes it does that way. And God says, I love you, so have I hate particular, have I love. You see, it's because don't look at the heart. Not look at you whether you're rich or you're poor. It's not that all. So that's one reason that we need to love all. Now the next point is the desire. Desire of a heart. Now if you look at Abel and Cain. Now remember, from the very beginning, God already put His plan to work of getting a people. The desire of our heart shows who we are, as to Abel, as Cain. Now, remember one thing, that Cain and Abel were raised up in the house of Adam. Yes or no? So they were taught all about what happened in the garden. They were taught about offering. So the time came, and Abel and Cain was due to give their own offering. They said their father did it. Right? But you know Cain. His heart was not right. same word was to be offered, blood of the firstling of a goat or a sheep. What did he do? He offered God all the biggest, the best of the products of his field. A big pumpkin, nice lettuce, nice cabbage, lots of good grapes, big oranges, tomato, whatever you have. I don't know why they have durian down there in the Middle East. Whatever, they get the best, the biggest. You think that by his own hand, you know, God's going to be pleased with it. Look, sometimes we offer God, sometimes we think we do God something, wow, I think God is pleased when I do this. Hey, don't think like that. You understand? You don't get God's favor by doing, I think God will be pleased if I do this. I think God will be pleased if I sacrifice this. No, don't think it like that. If God speaks to our heart, I promise you to do a certain thing, just do it. If it is the will of God and it's correct with the love of God. But you think carnally because I think this is what God will accept. I don't think he needs blood. That's why Cain was wrong. When God gave him an offering, Eric had before him an animal caught in the thicker, just like the one that was offered to Abraham. God told Cain, no, you're done wrong. If you're done wrong, I will accept it. But because you're done wrong, I'm giving you a sin offering right there, standing before you. Take it. His desire is up to you. You do whatever you want to him. He turned around, he rejected the offering and walked off. That's a problem many of us, and especially with preachers and theologians. They think what they have already seen in the traditional churches and what they have is right. They won't change. They won't change when they are told that this is wrong. When you look at the scripture that is wrong, it's wrong, they won't change. They can brush it away. As part of water baptism. If you either way also can because both are in the Bible. You know what I mean? Simple to say, isn't it? But you know one thing? There is a way to seem right unto a man. But the end thereof is the way of death. So don't have the carnality. The desire of the heart tells us where you are. If we are a child of God, if we are elected, if we are going to be that predestinate seed, that bride that God has from the very beginning planned this to work it out in your life and my life. If we are, I can tell you our desire will be according to the word of the Lord. We will walk according to what the Bible says. Amen? Because He is going to make us fulfill it. You understand, okay? Now the next one is the active faith. Our faith must be active. Faith in you, that you act accordingly. Active. Matthew 16:16. What it says here? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They asked, Jesus asked the disciple, who the man said that I, the Son of Man, am? There are all the people outside, you know, they have all the opinions of who Christ was. So the disciple said to Jesus, well, some say you are Elijah, Moses, one of the prophets, and so on. Now Jesus said, who do you say I am? Now the question is the same. What would you do with a man called Christ? Who do you say Jesus was? Who do you say he was? Who do you say I am? Jesus asked the question. Who do you say I am? Now the Muslim, of course they ask, who do you think Prophet Muhammad was? You know? Sure they ask. They will say he's the last of prophet greater than Jesus Christ, right? Sure. This. And as to the other Baha'i faith and all this, well, it's all a mixture of all the religion. They're all the same. They're all servants of God. Even Buddha, even Krishna. Huh? Let me tell you this. There is but one God. There is but one God. If you have too many gods, you will have problems. You know that I always find funny because when you see the Chinese mythology, oh, the gods always fight among themselves. Even the Hindu mythology. Sati, Kali, and Krishna, and Lingam, and all. My, how many thousands and thousands of gods they have. Fighting among themselves.
There is but one God. And Yahweh is His name. He's I am that I am. Hear, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one Lord. Huh? People think it takes many gods to build a whole universe, to create the whole universe. No, no. There's a great mind behind all this creation. A great mind. And He revealed Himself. How do we know this God? That's the reason why. He revealed Himself through something. What is that something? An animal? A monkey? That's God. A peacock? With his tail feather going up so, oh, beautiful, that's God? Huh? Or the Pope or something. God revealed Himself in the very image of man whom He created. And there is but one who can say that He is. It's none other than God Himself revealed in the flesh. Jesus said, He that see me, see the Father. He said, if you don't believe in me, just look at the work that I've done. That's right. Look at the record of His history. Of His life. The prophecy and the Bible, more than 40 people wrote it. They spent how many thousand years? Huh? They spent how many thousand years? Thousand plus years. Prophet doesn't know other prophets, not even know the apostle. But all the prophecy and things that pertaining to this revelation of God in a man came to pass exactly that was fulfilled. And it's impossible for you not to believe the Bible. Thousands of prophecy has been fulfilled. What else do you want? The Bible was exact to the point. What else can you believe? Huh? What did the Bible say? Oh! Bethlehem, Ephrathah, all of you shall come. You know, the Savior and so forth. The Bible even mentioned exactly the place where the Savior would be born. Hundreds of years before He was born. You think about it. Huh? Things that were mentioned of Christ were fulfilled exactly. Oh my. And for Moses said, God, the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And him you shall hear. Like unto me. And Jesus had performed the very same thing exactly the way Moses did. Fulfilling it. You understand? In the days when you were living, okay, now let's say we are all Jews. Yahudi. We are a Jew. We live in the days of John the Baptist. And we are looking for the Messiah, right? Here came John the Baptist. In camel skin and wow. It's all this. He looked like a hippie. You know, with all that beard and oh my, I don't know, he must be here, but the Bible says he was a wild man. Because he lived in the wilderness, you know. I don't know how he cut his hair, or keep his beard clean. But he came out into the city and suddenly preached. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And we are all here looking for the Messiah. This man is mad. Could you believe that he was a messenger of God? No, I thought he find it very hard, isn't it? Oh, come and listen, scratch. But you see, after a while, those they listen to what he said, that the Spirit of God began to reveal who John the Baptist was. Huh? Isn't it? Who are you? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. See? Okay, now here came Jesus Christ. He said, behold the Lamb of God. So those who are in the Messiah. Huh? This is the one? Well, what good can come out of Nazareth? He was a bastard son. He was illegitimate. Before his mother was married to his father Joseph, he was already conceived. Something wrong. How can we believe that this was the Messiah? But the Bible says he was to be born of a virgin woman. You know, only those who have the Spirit will discern. And one of them was a priest in the temple who knew the time would come that he would see the Messiah. And when baby Jesus was brought to him, he carried the child. He says, I saw the salvation of God. Like now the servant depart in peace. Woo! You talk about a person who knew the time. You don't even have to see the Messiah in the dark form to see the Messiah when you kill the baby. This is the one. Wow! You think about it. If your heart is right, your desire is right, God is going to reveal it to you. If you don't have the desire to know the Word of God, forget it. God is not giving it to you. What is God giving all this truth that we have in this last day by Brother Branham to the denomination? He has preached for how many years? The denomination has rejected it because why? They want to keep their tradition. They don't want to change their creeds and their dogmas. So Jesus, the Bible said to the, what did Jesus say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They keep their dogmas, right? And Jesus said, you have made your tradition no effect. Make the Word of God no effect because of your tradition. You keep preaching your church tradition. You are not preaching the truth. So how can the Word of God have any effect upon the people? To understand what I want them to know? God said, simple as that. Hold your tradition and you will die with the tradition. Why did I leave the denomination? It's plainly because God told me there's no such thing as a Trinity. There's no such thing as eternal hellfire. And baptism must be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come out of all my people. Come out! You've got to make a stand. Because my desire is the Word of God. I love the church. They can call me anything they like. They did. They passed my name throughout all the denomination too. I was wondering how come the Pentecostal have relationship with the Bible Presbyterian. And my name is even known to them. Woo! See, you see, the council of churches at work. You know? They're all coming together now. And that's what Brother Abraham. Now, why people not believe in William Branham? Are you sure that he was a prophet of God, the messenger the Bible talks about? You bet he is. He was. Just look at his fulfillment of the word. All you have to do is to watch the fulfillment of the word. Why did not Pharisees and Sadducees recognize John the Baptist? Why can't they recognize? They were big denomination. Phariseeism, Sadduceeism. Why didn't they recognize that John the Baptist was the messenger? And why did not they recognize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Why not? Caiaphas, the high priest. Well, he thought he was somebody, wasn't he? Well, he thought he shone and the things like that, the robe like a madman. Oh my. And he crucified that man. If you think about it, what holds a person is what you believe. If your faith is wrong, you are wrong. Your desire is only for your tradition, you are wrong. What's your desire? You see, our desire must be in the Word of God. And our faith must be active to prove that our desire is right. Huh? You know my cousin by my mother's side. He knows the message of William Branham. Preached many of the sermons from Brother Branham's book too. Not a Pentecostal light, even though he was a Bible Presbyterian. But when it comes to water baptism, way back, my brother Lingam wanted to be baptized. I asked him. He said, okay, I found out from my church board. He knows the word about Jesus in his Christ. But because he was a Bible Presbyterian, he came back and the reply was, I can't. I can't baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. My board will not allow it. See? And that's what Tommy Hicks asked Brother Abraham. So now if I were to follow this message, who is going to support me? Because he was supported by denomination. Do you understand? And God says, and Baba says, curse the denomination. That's what it does. It does to a person, it binds you. Do you understand? I'm not supported by denomination. I'm freelance. I'm not employed by denomination. You know what I mean? Do you understand? That's why I said I'm a freelance gospel preacher. I'm not supported by denomination. Because see, when a pastor of the church is, he's an organized. He's supported by a denomination. You understand that? Oh, I wonder who supported Moses. What denomination supported him? Was there an organization? They paid him the money or salary? Who paid John the Baptist? Who paid Paul? They are eat out. Right? As Paul would say, do not muscle the ox that tricked the grain. They're all freelance, so to speak. Huh? Well, we read earlier, Paul said, yeah, we die daily, you know. We suffer, we die almost every time we suffer pain for the word's sake. Oh my. So let us remember this. Who are you? Who am I? Jesus. Who do you think I am, the Son of Man? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Okay, if you can have that revelation that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, you know what Jesus said? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Is that right? In verse 18, I shall do the Dark Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I can tell you one thing, the gates of hell will come against it, but it will not prevail. Yeah, if you have the revelation, on the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Right? The devil will come against you, against you, against you. As long as you stand on the rock, he cannot prevail. He cannot prevail. Because it's not shifting. It won't move. It's a solid rock. As God told Moses or Abraham, there is a place by me, stand upon the rock. Ah, wow, I like that. You know? It's not sand that you're standing on, not pebbles. Oh my. And the last, one more point, 2 points more to go. In the beginning, Satan used the serpent to deceive. But now, it's the senses. The devil will use our natural senses to try to deceive us. And that's how he's trying to get to prevail against what you have. You know the black dog and the white dog story? It's so famous in the book of, in the sermon that we always know. Great Indian chief. Boom, boom. I'm a Christian now, but how come all this problem in this head of mine? The black dog and the white dog is fighting. That's a, you know how Indian talk from the red Indian? I always forever him ask. Oh, and he was honest to tell the truth. If I feed the white dog wins. If I feed the black dog wins. Sure, of course. What do you feed? That's the reason why, how do you feed your mind? Huh? Your mind is a battleground every day. The moment you get out in the morning, the battleground is there. Sure, there's a lot of things being sown there. There's a lot of battle going on. That's the reason why the Bible said, be not conformed to this world. But be renewed, huh? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If the mind of Christ being new, you know what to do? Paul said, if you have good virtues, think on these things. The mind must be renewed. Once I was like this, now I'm no longer like this. I must renew this mind, my thinking. This God I had, now I must learn to love Him. No matter how, love enemy, heart, but I must learn to love Him. You understand this now? Huh? So this is what is getting a lot of people. But God is going to change you. The body is governed by the soul. The soul is governed by the spirit. You know that, don't you? Sure. Huh? But we are born in this world without Christ. We are called soulless people. We are called carnal people. Because we are governed by the soul. That sin nature that we have to make this body feel good because of the soulless man. But when we are born again, we are quickened, we have the Spirit of Christ in us. The Spirit of Christ will take control of the soul and then over the body. You understand now? So you need to know who is the head and who is not the head. The soul is the head of the body. But in order for the soul to govern the body, you need to have the Word of God. You need to feed on the Word of God. There are three things, remember? You are a tripartite being. You make up a body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says our spirit is dead, but Christ is quickening. So once it's quickened, me alive, and Christ took over, and we are prisoner of Christ, isn't it? Feeding, therefore we feed upon the Word of God. And then that Word will govern our soul, and our soul will take over and control the spirit. Amen. Alright, now, until we have a token, we cannot be desperate. Our token is the Holy Spirit. We have applied the blood upon us. Right? If we have applied the blood of Christ upon us, and we are born again truly by the word of God, that means the Spirit of Christ will come in. And if we have the Spirit of Christ come in, let that Spirit of Christ, the token, manifest itself. If you don't let it manifest itself, you won't be desperate. A lot, as I said, a lot of people go to church just because they go to church. Until you understand who you are, what you are, in your relationship to God, you will never know. Huh? I remember like my son, my daughter, when they were young, they come to church. Like your children, come to church with us, with the adults. All they say, they're learning. But until they realize and grasp and have the revelation, they will never know the truth of their relationship and their standing with the Lord. They can say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. But what reality is there? What reality is there in your relationship to God? How real is it? You understand? And if you have the Spirit of the Lord, you know how to conduct yourself. We are His workmanship, prepared before the foundation of the world to receive the seed. If we receive the seed of God's word, the Bible said, the seed remain in us. Alright, let's go to the verse. First Peter. Gonna close in another point and then we finished. First Peter 1 verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word, by the logos. The word here is logos, not the rhema, but the logos, the revelation of God, which live and abide forever. So if you have your born again, you have that seed remain forever. And be prepared by God for you to receive that seed as He has ordained or decreed. So as He prepared you, He's going to mold you. So these 3 points you need to know. He has prepared you. He knows you from the beginning of the world for you to receive the seed. Once you receive the seed, He's going to mold you. He's going to shape you to meet the need. Molding you and then conform you to the whole Bible. Last verse we go to Colossians 1:15, and we will close with that. Colossians chapter 1:15-29. Colossians 1:15-29. Got it? Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were made, created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For He placed a pilot in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I said, whether there be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now have He reconciled in the body of His flesh to death to present you holy, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. You see that need is important? Continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I Paul and make a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I make a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. even the mystery which have been hid from the ages, from generations, but is made manifest to you now as sons of God. To whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labored, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So God is using Paul to fulfill the purpose, to bring everyone to that place. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled. So we need the whole Bible. Killing is only one scripture. But for the rapture, we got to make ready by the whole Bible. We got to make ready by the whole Bible. And I believe, like it or not, they got to be a selected people. They got to be a people. Just like as it was in the days of old, a small group of people that were able to take the land. They got to be a people they were going to take and make heaven in their rapture. They got to be. Because God is going to meet the need by bringing His word to come to pass. A little here, a little there, a little everywhere around the world. He's going to collect a people and be translated to meet Christ in the air. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done. Again, we bless thy word. And we pray, Father, may you just work in our life continually, Lord, as we hold fast to the faith. Continue in it. Ground it, Lord, as you would. Help us to stay grounded and set it once and for all. And hold fast to that until the blessed hope comes, Lord, that which we are looking for. Because that is what you were doing, Lord, all these years past. In grounding our life, in bringing us, Lord, in working in our life until we come to that place. That we become matured before your presence and as a wife, make ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Father, we give you all the praise and the glory and we continue, Lord Jesus, to hold fast by your grace in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.